Hello and welcome to Batflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British twist. I am your host this week, John McGee, in what is a signature week for the sport of baseball here in the UK. Yes, there is news from afar, from the magical Bloomberg company that the Red Sox and the Yankees are going to be landing here in London next year, 2019, the 29th and 30th of June to be precise. Mark it in your diary if speculation is to be believed, because it's going to be the biggest baseball event in the history of the United Kingdom. And tonight, of course, we're going to talk all about that, and maybe we'll answer some of your listener questions as well. And to help me get through this, because I could probably talk about this for myself for an hour, but I've got a couple of helpers. I've got Darius Austin here. Darius, how are you this week?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, John. I'm going to drop this in now because this is going to make Tom's day, but I have literally just dropped his name on a fantasy podcast in relation to Wade Miley, which I think is probably going to be his ideal scenario. So I'm going to force him to go and listen to that as well now. But that's what I've just been doing.
Darius, you have got many, many black marks because this was going to be a Tom-free week and a Wade Miley-free week because the man himself is currently on manoeuvres. We're not allowed to say where he is because it's a secret, obviously, but he's not in the country. Also not in the country, see, that is a link and a half, is my second guest, which is Blake Finney, who's rejoining us for the first time in a long while. Blake, as you will recall, is our resident fantasy expert alongside Darius, and he now lives in the city of Boston in Massachusetts. Well, technically, he lives in Cambridge, but we'll let him off. Blake, it's been a long time. How the hell are you?
It's been a very long time, and this is just the commitment to baseball in the UK that I moved to Boston, seeing as they're coming over to the UK.
Yeah, pretty ironic. They obviously heard that you were coming over there and were trying to get as far away from you as humanly possible, right?
Yeah, it's definitely something that I come over here. Oh, I want to go see some Red Sox games. Oh no, we're fucking off to London. Never mind.
Yeah, they'd obviously heard about your reputation. It preceded you, but yeah, it's opportune, Blake, that you were able to join us this week because, of course, we want to hear all about what your friends in Massachusetts have had to say about this this announcement or speculation or rumor or leak, whatever we want to call it. So I talked a little bit about what's happened at the top of the show. Of course, this is all speculation at this stage, but it seems to be pretty well sourced. There's been quite a lot of follow-up, quite a lot of questions put to the Red Sox and Yankees brass, which they haven't poo-pooed, shall we say, although it's worth noting that when we approached MLB's London office for a comment, they politely, I must say, declined to comment on speculation, as is their company policy. So what happened? Around 10 o'clock on Monday evening, Bloomberg, the fated business website, ran a short piece saying basically that Red Sox versus Yankees, June 2019, was in the works, and it was a case of dotting I's and crossing T's. You're probably thinking, well, Bloomberg, I know them because they've got those weird business terminals on financial companies' desks. I've heard of Michael Bloomberg. He used to be the mayor of New York. What have they got to do with baseball? Well, they have actually had a couple of stories on this before, so I guess their sourcing is pretty watertight. It was picked up by all of the big dailies in New York. So I don't know if anyone saw, we retweeted a couple of the covers of the New York Daily News and the New York Post from yesterday, both of which showed Aaron Judge as even bigger than Big Ben. Those people are going to get a horrible shock when they come over next year, and it's basically in a cage, aren't they? Bless them. And the Boston Herald's Michael Silverman, who, of course, joined Colin Murray on his live web video thing on Facebook last year, live from Boston. He's written a couple of really interesting and thoughtful pieces over the last couple of years, couple of days, with comments from, amongst others, Sam Kennedy, the Red Sox CEO, John Henry, the owner of the Red Sox and Liverpool, and today from Alex Cora. So some pretty big reaction. Alex Cora seems to be pretty excited, said his mum has always wanted to visit London. So she's looking forward to the visit. Aaron Boone said also he's looking forward to coming. So it seems like they're already packing their suitcases, guys. Darius, is it time for us to get excited, or should we sort of temper this a little bit because nothing's on the stone tablet yet?
Yeah, I think it's time to get excited. These comments and the lack of official comment very much seems to be a procedural thing to me rather than definitely nothing is happening. I don't know where you've got this from type reaction. I think that the Red Sox and Yankees probably would have advised their staff and players to maybe clam up about it rather than saying how enthusiastic they were about coming over to the UK. And in contrast to, I think, the previous sort of rumours that we were going to maybe get a game in 2017, and that all seemed like a bit of a rush job and nothing really happened. This seems to be done well in advance. As you say, Bloomberg have presumably got some very good sourcing on this. I don't think it's the kind of thing they'd publish without having done their homework. I think it is time to get excited, and I think it won't be all that long until we get an official announcement from MLB that those two teams are the ones coming over.
And what do you make about the teams? Because I obviously wrote a piece about this time last year where I said, bring whoever you like, but don't bring those two teams. I guess I'm going to have to eat my words. What's your view on it then?
Yeah, I think it's a good choice for the first game. Obviously, we know who all 30 teams are, but I suspect there's an element of maybe trying to bring a few more new people to the sport in, and there aren't any more recognisable baseball teams than the Yankees and the Red Sox. So I think from that perspective, it does make it easier for them to market the game. Maybe bring in a few people who have kind of had a passing interest in baseball, or seen a Yankees or a Red Sox cap before, and decided to go, what's going on here? Probably a bit more likely to check it out than the Twins. Maybe I suspect if you asked a lot of people, they wouldn't be able to tell you which sport the Twins were playing in. So I think it's a good call, and I'm sure we'd all like to see different teams. And we've certainly had enough of the Yankees over the years, but actually they're a pretty exciting, fun young team right now. And I think it will be a pretty good marketing job with those two teams in the works. So yeah, I think it's the right call. Obviously they didn't listen to you, but maybe next time.
Yeah, well, after that aside from the Twins, I think that people should not listen to you either, because as soon as people saw the Twins jerseys and saw that wonderful logo and that beautiful font, that have been there in a trice. What about you, Blake? What was your view when you saw the two names in the frame? Obviously, as a Nats fan, you were disappointed, I guess, for your fellow Brits, but probably glad that you weren't going to miss out on a Nats game. But what did you think these two fit the bill?
Yeah, it was definitely a surprise that you're getting two high-profile teams, I think.
Oh, you is it, Blake, already? My goodness, you've changed.
You'll have to worry when I start spelling Blake's Americanized with a Z. but yeah, I was surprised when it was the Yankees and the Red Sox. Like, you would have expected along the lines of, I think it was the Dodgers and Diamondbacks that went to Australia when they went there. So having one really high profile team, so one of the Red Sox and Yankees, and then bringing over potentially another division foe, like the Rays, for example. Mm. So that you do have that big team draw, but then the home team isn't missing out on like the big rivalry Yankees Red Sox. So I think they're giving up one home game each.
Yeah, I believe so. Do you not think there's a possibility? I mean, this was the crux of my argument, was that if they screw it up, like, what happens next? I mean, my argument was they maybe need to keep a little bit of the powder dry. Would you not think maybe Yankees Rays, for example, might have been a better fit from that point of view? Or is it just me trying to defend a year-old column?
yeah, I think it could have been a better fit, but I guess perhaps some of the earlier stuff that we did last year coming in, so having the impression that the Battlegrounds made, perhaps has given them enough to say, look, we're going to give you this high-profile matchup, make the most of it.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, in the podcast, Charlie was at pains to impress how pleased that the hierarchy had been there. I mean, it's something he's told me a couple of times before off mic, that they really worked. That number that he quoted, the 1 million viewers online, of which 100,000 were in the UK, that was the big one for them. I think that's the one that sort of made, the dollar signs roll around in their eyes like they were, at the roulette table, I guess. The question maybe for you, Darius, is where do they go from here? Even supposing it is a success, how can they follow it? How can they follow the signature rivalry of the entire sport? Maybe it would be the Diamondbacks and the Reds, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe it would be. I mean, I know we'd all go to see Joey Votto live. That would be...
Oh, my God.
I mean, I think we could probably pull in 80,000 to fill the stadium alone just with our pro-Votto campaign.
What was that? 10 minutes for the Joey Votto mention?
Yeah, he came after Wade Miley, which is a current trope and a bloody worrying one at that.
Yeah, every time I think of Wade Miley now, I'll say Votto's name instead just to get that out. Now, I think, I mean, we've seen the NFL games be immensely popular despite some truly terrible matchups. I would guess that the hope is perhaps that we get a few people into going to these games, that they have a great time, and that they maybe care a little bit less the next time round. And so it won't matter if they, well, who are the Reds or the Twins or whoever it might be. I'm really sorry, Twins fans. I don't know why I keep mentioning the Twins. They were just the first team that came to mind. But yeah, just a case of, it is a bit like, I always think, tell people it's a bit like going to the Test cricket or something. You know, you go out and you have some beers and you have a great time. And I think if you can draw people to the games first with the Yankees and the Red Sox, make them realize that, oh yeah, the baseball game is a great laugh, then I don't think they need to be out there thinking, oh, well, how can we top this? Can we get the Dodgers and the Giants to come? Or whichever big rivalry they might think that UK people are interested in. I think they're hoping probably that a high-profile series like this will kick off the run. And then I'm sure it won't be like the NFL where we've got these series, you know, three game series every single year, but I think maybe that they'll be hoping that they get more people into the game, and that the fans, we obviously know there are a lot of fans here already, that those fans will have a good time as well and want to keep coming back on a repeat basis. And it will be kind of a, I've been to the NFL at Wembley and it is just fans of every team. You see every single jersey there. It's not a case where you need to be a fan of the team or, you know, even within the division or anything like that. It's just a, I like the sport, so I'm going to come to this event deal. And I think that's probably what they're aiming for.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to talk a little bit about what we want to see in the next sort of 12 to 14 months before, you know, supposing this is going to happen. And I must say, it's all speculation at this point, but, you know, allow yourselves to get excited, I guess, is the feeling that's coming across. But before we do that, Blake, we've got you here, and obviously you are just a man. You are a single man, but can you give us the opinion of your country, as you put it, the United States of America? What's the reaction been in Boston, so far as you've seen it?
I think from when I've spoken to some of my colleagues at work and just kind of gauging the view altogether, you kind of get two camps this side of the Atlantic. So you get the people who are really excited, and they always throw in, oh yeah, I always wanted to go to London, as if they're actually going to go on a road trip to London. But then you get the other camp who are, ooh, it's our sports, don't let it go across the Atlantic, and they want to kind of keep it within America. And kind of, I get that argument when it was the NFL, you only get 8 home games a year. So losing one of them is like 12% of your home games a year. But when it's baseball, you're getting 81, and you're, in this case, you're losing one. So it's not that big of a loss. That surely the benefits of trying to grow the game internationally outweigh what you're actually going to miss out on.
Yeah. I mean, that seems to have been the reaction that I've seen online as well, and from people that have corresponded with us from the other side of the pond. They seem to be sort of split down the middle. I had one rather irascible individual trying to tell me on Twitter this afternoon that people in the UK didn't care about baseball. I informed him that it probably wasn't a really great idea to make that argument to me, who had literally just said I couldn't wait for it to come. And it says that I live in England, so he was an idiot, but he's maybe just one individual. It's interesting that so many people are trying, are sort of suggesting that they're going to use it as a means to come to London. So I've just done another podcast. This is my second podcast of the night. I'm like marathon man. I did Justin Maguire, who joined us on the Baseball Book podcast a few weeks ago. He has an Orioles podcast, Locked on Orioles, where I was being ritually flagellated and being made to talk about the worst team in baseball yet again. And he asked me a couple of questions about this, given the timing. And I said to him that I guess you guys have both been to the NFL games as I have too. I was really surprised at how many American people were there, like genuinely shocked. Like every time I went to three or four of them, and the stadium was, you know, more British people than American, but there was a good 15, 20% of the crowd at every game I went to was American. So maybe that is going to happen. Maybe they are going to schlep over here. And I guess, if they're not going to come from Boston or New York, you know, the cosmopolitan high rollers of Boston and New York, if they're not going to come, they're certainly not going to come from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or, I don't know, Fort Worth, Texas, are they?
Was there a concerted effort not to mention Minnesota there?
Not yeah, on them I had anymore. To try really hard. Look, we've had enough slagging off of Minnesota here, and I'm a big fan of the film Fargo, so let's just leave it there.
I believe Fargo is in North Dakota, actually, John.
No, it's not. It's in Minnesota. Well, anyway, carry on.
Yeah, I think the other thing that maybe we haven't really talked about is that there probably are quite a lot of Americans in London already, and it doesn't take that many. You know, to get into the stadium to make it seem like there are a bunch at the game. London is a very big place, you know, of 12 million plus people. You only need a few thousand Americans to be living there and go, oh yeah, I'm a baseball fan. Why don't I pop along to the game that's actually close to me? And I think the other thing we haven't talked about is that obviously there are a lot of other European countries where baseball is pretty big. I know that the Netherlands were trying to get some of these games in the past. I think Gabriel over Extra Innings has talked about this before, that they were kind of making a push with the facilities there to try and convince MLB to come over, whether they would be interested in making a trip. You know, maybe you can incorporate it into your summer holidays. Obviously, the Germans have a good league, the Italians. So there may well be people from all over Europe thinking, well, this is a bit better than making a trek to the States. I can just do my holiday in London and pop and see a couple of baseball games while we're at it. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are baseball fans from all over Europe as well who pop along, even if it's just a few.
Yeah, that's also a feature of the NFL games, that people do come from all over the place. So what's the proportion then, Blake? In terms of, is it like an equitable split, like 50-50 people who think it's good and people who want to come over here, and then those who are just like, you know, the typical misanthropes, you know, this isn't going to affect me directly, but I'm going to have a good old moan about it?
Yeah, I think it is quite an even split. Like you say, you got half the people, maybe not to the extent of, oh yeah, I want to go to London, but they do think it's a good idea, and they kind of can see the wider perspective that it will be a good idea in the long run to get the international exposure for MLB. And then probably the other half who are very stubborn and I want to go to every baseball game and keep it in America.
Yeah, because they definitely do that, don't they? Because I bet that the Venn diagram of people who say you should have every single Red Sox / Yankees / Minnesota Twins game here where I want to go and see it, and people who don't go to any, is a circle. Anyway, Fargo is in North Dakota. You were right. It is on the border of Minnesota, and a lot of the film takes place in Minnesota. Anyway,
I know.
Yeah, and okay, enough. That's one of my favorite films. The fact I got that wrong is just astonishing. Anyway, you mentioned the fact that the Netherlands have got really great facilities for this. So one of the questions that we've had a few times, I asked people for thoughts on this and to ask us some questions for this evening. A few people, so Sam Palmer is one of them, but he's not the only one, have asked us about the venue. Now, we do not, obviously, have a suitable state-of-the-art facility for this, much as Farnham Park is a huge improvement on what we've had previously in this country. It's not MLB grade. So really, where's it going to be? Now, all these reports have said the London Stadium, the Olympic Stadium, the home of West Ham United Football Club, where everyone wears waffle jackets and has the same haircuts. Hopefully not for this weekend. Any thoughts on that, Darius? It seems a bit of an odd fit, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I mean, I guess it is multi-purpose there. They'll have to do a pretty significant amount of work, obviously, to change it into a baseball stadium. But they have got the extra space there. It's obviously a stadium that's had the running track in. Generally speaking, at a football ground, you'd obviously have the issue of the seats actually being too close to the pitch to actually create a proper playing surface, I think. But at the London Stadium, I don't think that's so much of an issue. Our cricket grounds are not that big. They did it in Sydney, of course, at the Sydney cricket ground with the Australian games, but they do have bigger grounds over there. So I think that was a more practical option for them. And there was plenty of space for the playing field. So it does seem like the most plausible option right now, I think. And it does also feel a bit strange at the same time. But as you say, we don't have a purpose-built facility, and I can't see them limiting themselves to the capacity of the cricket grounds we have, which are maybe the best fit in terms of a pure playing surface type of argument.
Yeah, I think you're probably right from that point of view. I'm slightly nervous about the London Stadium. I don't know if you have you ever had the pleasure, shall I call it pleasure, of going there, Blake? Have Bath City ever played West Ham?
not quite. But I went there for the Olympics in 2012. I think we went to some of the athletics there, and yeah, it's definitely big. I think it's about a 90,000 capacity. And yeah, it would be a bit weird, and you wonder how much it would do, because 90,000 would certainly be tricky to sell. Like, I'm not saying it couldn't, but it would certainly be tricky compared to any of the cricket grounds where you would be very confident that it would sell out at least 20,000-30,000.
Yeah, I've been to, I went to a rather less euphoric event, which was, an FA Cup game on a Friday evening in which Manchester City beat the home team West Ham United 6-0. It was flatter than Zoe Ball's chest. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see how they rearrange it for baseball, if indeed it is going to be there. You're right, the cricket surfaces would be brilliant. The other thing is, which a couple of people have mentioned, that it's actually during the Cricket World Cup. So they probably couldn't use the Oval or Lords at that particular time. Also seems bizarre timing, you know, in terms of, God, it's London. You've got competition coming from every corner. I guess the Cricket World Cup is just another element to the mix. So maybe we shouldn't worry about that too much. But yeah, so surely someone's recognised that it's the Cricket World Cup in England at exactly the same time. Maybe they want to get Joss Butler along to lead off for the Reds. Again,
maybe they do also think that they're going to have more international fans in London at the same time, who might also come along from Australia and New Zealand and other places that actually are interested in baseball. Maybe that they will pop along to the baseball when they're not at the cricket games. Who knows?
Are you trying to say that there's a plan?
I wouldn't go so far as to insinuate that.
But Darius, they haven't tweeted for 4 months. What are they doing? Anyway, enough. We can't get into the Twitter thing again, chiefly because we know why that is, and I'm not allowed to tell anyone. Anyway, let's move on from that. We'll just leave that hanging out there. So, we have got other questions, and we'll come on to those in a minute, but I do want to talk about what we think is going to happen in the next 14 months. So, Blake, do you reckon that they're going to send any of the Red Sox big stars over to get used to the drizzle?
Come over for the rain in winter instead of all the snow we've been having.
Yeah.
but yeah, I could definitely see that. You see all the NFL players coming over in the summer months during the off season to promote the NFL games at Wembley. So yeah, I could definitely see some of the, maybe not the big stars, but as long as you get players who are actually going to be on the 25-man roster than some of the single A players, then it would definitely be doing a good job of promoting the game.
Yeah, you just know that they're going to send Brock Holt and he's going to get DFA'd because he's the nicest man ever. And he'd do a really, really great interview with Piers Morgan on Good Morning Britain and then get DFA'd on the plane home. What do you reckon, Darius? What have we got to look forward to between now and then? Let's speculate a little further. Charlie gave us a bit of a flavour of it, but it was, you know, generalities. There's going to be a lot about food and a lot about music. But, you know, what do you think that means?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we saw some of this with Battlegrounds and the events surrounding it. I think we'll see more of the, trying to build on that culture aspect. So maybe tapping in a bit more to the New York and Boston culture or whatever they think it is that UK people perceive that to be. So I think we'll see some of that. I wouldn't be surprised to see another, maybe not a home run derby, but other baseball themed events. I mean, we've been talking about more fun skills competitions around the All-Star game for years. So it'd be kind of nice to see something like that, whether they would get some players over for something like that or what, I don't know. But I think we can expect to see maybe something like that. There's not a game, but it is a baseball themed competition of some kind. I can see, as Blake mentioned, the sort of NFL press type stuff. We'll maybe see some players come over in the off season and, record some spots and maybe meet some fans and see what happens there. I'm sure Charlie has got a few things up his sleeve that he's not told us about yet. And I expect that they're going to want to test the market at least once more with a big event like Battlegrounds before the main thing goes on.
One would think so. It certainly seems like that might be the case. I'm really intrigued about this music and food thing. So Blake, tell us what food are we going to get to eat? Is it just lobster rolls, or do they do anything else in Boston?
I've got to be honest. I've come to the wrong place because I'm absolutely sick of seafood. I hate it. It's everywhere. I think it's not necessarily exclusive to Boston, but I think wings are the big thing.
Oh yeah.
Everywhere as well, but I can actually eat wings unlike lobster. So if you want to get Boston, you get stuff like just the seafood, and then if you want New York, they're just going to have bagels everywhere.
Yeah, and pizza, which is obviously quintessential New York food from Italy. Yeah, oh, that's the other point. Do you think we'll get any of the Irish people from Boston over here? Because I heard there's lots of them over there.
It's one thing that Americans do that is one of my pet peeves. They say, oh, yeah, I'm Irish. Oh, right, who is Irish? And they talk about, like, their great-grandmother.
Yeah, they love it, don't they? I found that absolutely bizarre, particularly in Boston, everyone claiming to be Irish. Oh, you're from England, I'm from Ireland. You're not. Your voice is kind of really great, but you're not. Can you just explain to me where your Irish ancestry comes from? Oh, I am technically more Irish than you, but anyway, let's just leave it there. It's a weird thing that
made a point of to avoid some Paddy's Day over here. I went out the night before.
I mean that's pretty wild in Manchester as well, but it's snowed here, so apparently it was absolute carnage. Yeah, so it looks like it's going to be a fun year for us anyway. Do you reckon we're going to get more people jumping on the bandwagon, Darius? Do you reckon that these events that our friends Dave Shaw and Mike Ivory and Sandy Shipley and the guy in Aberdeen, whose name I don't know, sorry, man in Aberdeen, and obviously mine and Andy's event in Manchester, do you think they're going to be sellouts now that we've got this news coming through the pipeline?
I don't know whether this news specifically will cause these events to be sellouts. I think.
Thanks for that, mate. got a lot of money.
I mean by that is, I think they already seem to be quite popular just based on the people you know who are in the community. But also, we saw with who was it? Was it Heyman or one of them who sort of tweeted the news about the games about 6 months after we wrote about it?
Oh, it was John Morosi, yeah.
Thomas Morosi, yeah. So as we saw from that, a significant proportion of people seem to have just completely missed the original announcement. I would not be surprised if there are still a significant proportion of people out there who have missed this announcement, or at least news story. And we'll, in a few months' time, we'll have a bunch of people going, hey, look at this. The Red Sox and the Yankees are coming to London, as though the news was new. So I think over time, these things will build up. But I would not expect it to happen all at once, because these things do just sort of filter out over Twitter, and maybe you saw the news story, but it's not like BBC are going to be running news on this every day. They've stuck an article up in a day or two, or disappeared from their site again, and it will be left until the next announcement before this flares up again. So yeah, I can see it building, but I wouldn't expect it to happen all at once.
Do you know what? I was absolutely amazed that that article on the BBC used a picture of Chris Sale. I was absolutely gobsmacked that it wasn't like a picture of Jeter, really, or even like Joe DiMaggio. That's actually a real player. He really
would have been great if it was like Ted Williams or something, wouldn't it? Just
yeah. He has a picture of Yaz on his Zimmer frame. You know, coming up for his 3,400th hit.
Ty Cobb sliding into third base.
Yeah.
Not one of the generic baseball stock photos that they've got. There's probably about five of them that they just kept rotating.
Yeah, it's just a glove on a mound with a ball in it. Yeah, they actually shilled out to the Associated Press for a picture. Someone said, who's a baseball player? What, is this man who basically looks like an angry straw, is he really one of the best baseball players in the world? Yeah, we're as surprised as you guys.
Do you think on that front, do you think they're going to send Ronald Torres and Aaron Judge over just because people are going to love the photo ops?
I really hope so. They'd be in a sort of tradition of British comedy, Ronald Torres and Aaron Judge. They'd sort of go along with Laurel and Hardy, good Cumbrian there, Stan Laurel. Who else? Little and Large, obviously. Yeah, Benny Hill. They love Benny Hill.
Eric Morecambe's very tall, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So, yeah, Ronald Torres and Aaron Judge. And maybe Stanton. Maybe they can sort of come and be like a small man sandwich. That'd be awesome. Or if they send, like, Aaron Judge and Mookie Betts and they say, you know, there's a man who's named after a fish and he's really the best player in baseball, but he's got a head that looks like a potato, so just forget about him. These are the two best players in baseball. Look, one of them's really tall and he's huge and he's got giant hands, and the other one's this sort of cool, tiny little fly-looking guy. That's going to look really... People are going to be like, no, they're not. They're not the two best players in baseball. Like, one's really small and one's a giant. Surely the giant's better. Wrong.
Is this a point in favour of sending Stanton, because he does actually look like one of the NFL players anyway, so people will be like, yeah, I recognise this. This is an athlete.
Yeah, it could be. What do you reckon, Blake? Do you think that they should just disguise Stanton in an NFL helmet, and that's like their Trojan horse?
I don't mean to bring back bad memories, but I think the people who aren't as into baseball as us would be expecting someone of the Pablo Sandoval build to be coming across as a baseball player. That's the stereotypical British view of baseball. Oh yeah, you can play that if you're like 300 pounds. So yeah.
Yeah, thanks Babe Ruth. Got a lot to answer for, and that is chief amongst his list of horrors. Yeah, you're probably right, I'm afraid. Do you reckon when Stanton comes to the UK that he'll let people call him Mike?
I still remember this from the fantasy days of when there were two Mike Stantons, because I think there was a lesser-known relief pitcher for the Angels that a couple of people drafted in, like, the third round.
Yeah, there were two Ryan Brauns as well, weren't there?
Yeah, the other Ryan Braun was a relief pitcher also, wasn't he? Yeah, not a dewy-eyed druggie. Speculation again there. A lot of speculation in this podcast. Okay, so we do have some listener questions. We'll transition onto those before we finish up. So, regular correspondent and genuinely ill human being, Rob Navera, has sent some very bizarre questions. I sort of touched on one of them already. Do you think clubs will send their starters over to acclimatise for a couple of days? We already sort of asked that. Could be an issue in long extra inning games. Could there be some other roster jiggery pokery for AAA? Do you think that they're basically going to send the the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders and the Pawtucket Red Sox for two games. You say, are we just going to give those up as a mulligan? I don't think so, but I really bloody hope not. What else do you think that they could do to prepare over it? Maybe you can take that one, Blake. What is there that you can do in America to prepare you for the British experience, other than obviously, you know, Mookie Betts coming around to your house for a bit of a chat?
Oh, have you read my diary for Saturday night? I think the logistical side of it is very interesting. Are they going to give them like a couple off days either side? But I could definitely see the starters coming over. Obviously, they're the ones in their routine every 5-6 days. So as soon as they've started, they can come over with one like the pitching intern or something to keep them fresh. And then the other guys can come over once they've finished the current series. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I think, like you said, they want to try and make it a festival. So maybe a couple off days either side rather than just the one that they would usually have just going across the other side of the country to kind of adapt to the British weather. Thankfully, it's not the Californians or Miami coming over where they won't know what rain is.
What do you reckon, Darius? What tips would you give to your average MLB star about what they need to be doing in their day-to-day routine to get used to coming over to the UK? So Rob suggested that they could maybe go on a fish and chip diet.
Yeah, do you think there is anything worse than eating fish and chips before trying to play sport? I wonder if...
No. Yeah, eating fish and chips before trying to go swimming, that is one of the worst things I've ever done. Don't do that, people.
Yeah.
You'd think the fish would like the water. It does not. Anyway, I've cut you off there. Carry on.
Yeah, well, in all seriousness, I was thinking about just often in the evenings in summer, even when it's nice here, it just seems to get cold really fast. And I can imagine if you're playing inside the London Stadium, where it's also obviously going to get shady pretty quick, I would probably practice just going from like nice warm temperature to like, you know, fairly significant cold within a really small space of time. I don't know how you simulate that in the US, but I can imagine that being the kind of thing where players are going to get injured basically because of the temperature change and their muscles seizing up. So I don't know, get a freezer cabinet or something and just jump in that for 30 seconds. And I have been wondering about, do you think they're going to play the games at like 6 p.m. here so that it's still a regular afternoon start? Or are they just going to do like what they do to the NFL players and make them play at 1 o'clock, which is stupidly early in the US? But then they obviously have a lot longer to adjust with the NFL. So I kind of assume that they would try and keep them on a regular schedule.
They've got to play. I mean, this is another question that somebody's asked. When are they going to play? I'm assuming that they're going to play at 6 o'clock as though they're day games, essentially. They're not going to play them at midnight. I really hope not. live on Nessun at 7:05 p.m. And like, there's just a bunch of people in the background, just heads nodding everywhere. Like, oh, my God, I've had 10 beers. I can't keep my eyes open.
You would think the one time that British MLB fans are guaranteed to get a game at a normal time and it's, oh, wait, no, we're still getting up at midnight.
Yeah, absolutely. Or if you're me, just not going because you literally can't, your body clock just can't do that. I'm the worst British baseball fan ever because I can basically stay awake for about 5 minutes of a midnight game. Don't tell anyone. Oh, this podcast got well over 500 listeners every week, so I just told all of you. Sorry. I'm a terrible baseball fan. That's why everyone likes Tom more. Right. So I think we've covered that. Got a good question from our friend and a regular contributor to the blog, Chris Brown. Who's the best American to have ever played sport in London? William the Fridge Perry. Correct answer. Thank you. Any others?
Isn't it Pete Sampras?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I suppose there's probably lots of Olympic athletes who we could
Michael
name.
Phelps.
Yeah, Phelps has got to be up there.
You could be really boring and say Tom Brady as well came over for one of the international games. That would be the really boring answer.
Yeah, that is boring, Blake. That's not why we've got anyone here. I thought you were a Washington sports fan. You're out there standing for the flipping Pats. Come on, man.
Gronk is the biggest American I've seen play sports in London.
Oh, well, there you go.
We're not mentioning the last time a Washington team came over to the UK. Tied at Wembley.
Yeah, let's gloss over that one, chiefly because I have no idea what happened, because I don't know anything about NFL, but also because it sounds like it was a bad memory for you. So anyway, yeah, P. Sampras, you've completely thrown me there. I just don't know where to go from that. Good answer. Good answer. John McEnroe is very, very angry at you, though, even though it's correct. Right. Yeah, well, the last question was really about from London National was whether they would be in the middle of the night, and I think we've addressed that. There was one last question, and I am gonna ask you this, even though it's completely off topic, from Stephen Pipe, because Darius, you said that you might have an answer to this. So Stephen's a Mariners fan, and he wants to know, why have the Mariners not made the playoffs for 16 seasons, have never won a pennant in 40 years' existence, and have never been to the World Series? Could we discuss why the franchise has done so badly? Yeah, we haven't got all night, I'm afraid, Stephen, but you know, we can give you a couple of minutes. And I think Darius might have a concise answer to this.
Yeah, I have an answer. I think the folks, Lookout Landing is a great Mariners blog. You could probably go and tweet any of the writers over there and they would probably launch into an incredibly long monologue about their woes and the pain of being a Mariners fan. I think the inability to develop prospects, especially hitting prospects, has really hurt them a lot. They just haven't brought anybody through. It sort of seems to be, it's one of those things that's become almost comical now. People sort of see a guy get drafted in the Mariners system and you see all the prospect guys sort of hang their heads and think, oh, well, I used to like him, but now he's in Seattle. So that's unfortunate. It's hard to build a team when you haven't got a ton coming through the pipeline. I think they've roundly considered to have the worst farm system in the game again now. This is partly because Jerry DiPoto loves to trade everybody away. So that's maybe slightly different, but they have really had a lot of trouble developing prospects. And I think they had a pretty bad front office environment under Jack Zarenczyk. I know Tony Blangino, who used to work for them, done a lot of stuff for Fangraphs. He's kind of written and talked about this before. I think there were some concerning stories there. And as for not winning the World Series, I think when they were really good, it kind of came at an unfortunate time. They won 116 games in 2001. We all know who else was hanging around then winning a bunch of World Series. So I think blame the Yankees for that one.
Yeah, blame the Yankees for everything. Yeah, but at least they did a really cool picture of Aaron Judge being bigger than Big Ben. So that they have that in the face of Steven. I unfortunately have got literally nothing to add beyond Darius's incredibly erudite answer to your question. So I hope that has answered it a little bit. I'm sure he'll be happy to talk to you more on Twitter. If not, he will, I'm sure, point you in the direction of some of the august writers over at Lookout Landing, and you should check them out too. Right, so we're all done. That's all the questions we had, but that's fine because we had plenty to talk about. It's been a big, big week. We did say last week at the end of our podcast that we have an interview in the can with Benny Howell, the Gloucestershire bowler. That is still in the can, of course. We've pushed that off till next week. You'll get to listen to that then. And I was going to sort of pull back the curtain a little bit to tell you a little bit about what happened and how we managed to get round the table with Charlie from MLB. Suffice to say, that took a long time. Charlie's a really, really cracking guy, but he's not given to speaking on public record. It took me maybe 2 years to twist his arm. We'll kind of leave it there. And we were going to talk a little bit and maybe speculate on a few things based on little bits and pieces that he may have told me off mic. But hey, this has happened, and I'm not going to confirm or deny that he had told me anything that we may have talked about this evening. That can be for you to judge, and I don't want to get him into trouble because he is both a really good guy and he's done us a lot of favors. So we'll leave it there and we'll say good night and goodbye for this week. And we'll catch up with you again next week when we will be one day from baseball, or is it
Yeah, it'll be one day. They start on Thursday. Yeah.
Excellent. So, well, hype's coming, not just for London, but for the baseball season. The Taiwanese baseball season, for those who are wondering, starts on Saturday, 10 a.m. Get yourself there bright and early. I know you all wanted to know. So, guys, we'll do the normal roundups. Where can we find you? Blake, it's been a pleasure to have you. Where can people find more of your stuff? I know you're doing a lot more writing these days.
Yeah, I've started writing for District On Deck. So it's the fan-sided Washington National site. I've been starting doing their podcast where obviously they're huge fans of the British accent talking about their Washington Nationals. So
nice.
you can find me writing on there and probably located at various major league grounds across America now on this side of the Atlantic.
Nice. Yeah, we're gonna check out a Red Sox game when I'm over in June. I'm looking forward to it already.
Yeah, definitely.
And Darius, what have we got coming down your ever oozing pipe of baseball content this week?
Putting that disgusting image aside for a moment, I'm actually writing up our predictions. You suggested last week that we do a little comparison with Pecota and Fangraphs, that kind of thing. So I'm actually in the process of writing up our prediction pod win totals from last week and comparing them to the system. So I'm just going to pick out a few outliers where we disagree with those projections. And then you can
is
find
it having
about
four NL teams on 85 wins by any chance?
Well, the thing that's jumped out to me actually, and I will put this in the post, but we've predicted the NL to win about 20 more games than the AL, and the NL hasn't won interleague play since 2003, I believe.
Oh, wow.
So that seems pretty bold on our part.
Yeah.
And then you can also find me over at Baseball Prospectus writing about fantasy. So we've got our model portfolios articles coming up, which is basically where we kind of, if we take a set of Mike's GNL's auction values, we just design our ideal team based on players if we'd been able to get them at that draft cost. So I'll be having mine out on Monday. And then you can also go over to Banished to the Pen and check out all our season previews, including one written by Mr. McGee over there about the Brewers, which has had a lot of great reaction. We've got different writers for all those previews, a lot of really fun angles going on, and we're nearly done with those. So if you're looking for a bit of a different flavour to your season preview, then get over to banishedtothepen.com and check all of those out.
Yeah, absolutely do that. And also, I must make a point of pointing out that we haven't done season preview podcasts or indeed write-ups on our own website this year, largely because we haven't really had time to do it. Sorry about that. Happily, Steve Klein at the Bush League Ramble has stepped in and is doing these for us. So he's getting a UK fan of all the teams to contribute a really nice little preview. He had a few slots to fill and he didn't really know where to go and he came to us. So sorry, some teams are going to be represented by this bunch of complete idiots. I'm doing the North Dakota Twins. So look out for that one later in the week. And you can find me, of course, every week I say this on the internet. There's going to be a few more things coming on our website this week, some more reaction to the news. And I kid you not, the Backflips and Nerds preview of the Chinese Professional Baseball League season. It's coming, people. We know you want it. It's coming. It'll be there over the weekend. If not, it'll be early next week. Thank you all for tuning in again, for your questions. It's been a really exciting week and it's been a pleasure to share it all with you. We'll see you again next time. Goodbye.